Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Are you a high achiever? A driven professional? Whether the answer to that is yes or no, my conversation with Elizabeth Zelinka Parsons made it so clear we are all not so very different when it comes to leaving the 9-to-5. A high achiever may be leaving the 8-to-8, but their concerns, their dreams, their unknowns are based in the very same uncertainty as those of us who are not high achievers. My analogy is a football field. We, who are not high achievers, may not have as great a distance between current reality and retirement dreams as a high achiever who has played a super competitive game and wants great accomplishments in retirement. But the journey has very similar processes. Elizabeth is great fun, and while she talks with high achievers daily, she hits the nail on the head with the rest of us too. Listen now. Retirement. Almost everyone I know uses air quotes when they say the word. I tend to describe it as giving up the 9-to-5, and I prefer the word renewment over retirement. Some of you will have had a job, some of you will have had a career, and some of you will have been driven to achieve. Perhaps you even define yourself by that which you do to earn your paycheck. We all, but especially you driven folk, you high achievers, need to fill the vacuum that is created when you leave that office. And you aren't talking gardening or pickleball or even travel. Well, maybe travel if you can create a project that ends world hunger. And just to assure you, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about direction, focus, and probably creation. My guest today uses the words aimlessness and stagnation. And those words do not bring a single positive picture to mind. That's not how we define post 9-to-5. A word I've heard before, and my guest uses it, is encore. The dictionary explains it as again, once more. If you could create an encore career or life that was completely of your own choosing and design, does that make the word retirement sound more exciting or more like my word, renewment? Let's meet Elizabeth now. Elizabeth Zelinka Parsons, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
I am looking forward to this conversation. Okay, we're going to jump right in, lay some groundwork. I'm sorry, I laugh at myself because I do all this hand stuff and we're only recording the audio, so sorry about that. Right. Okay, we're going to lay the groundwork. Who do you serve? How do you serve them? And what's the impact your work makes? Boom, open the box.
All right, great. Thank you so much. So, you know, my client base tends to be individuals who have had, you know, pretty intense, demanding careers. And as you alluded to in the introduction, and I allude to in a book that's going to come out fairly soon about my work, I would call most of my clients, you know, laughingly high achievers. And I mean that as, you know, we would all be a little self-deprecating with that description because it's both. Yes, we have worked very hard and cared a great deal about pushing the edges of our potential and finding, you know, out what we're really capable of achieving in this world. But we also recognize that that can almost create a form of tunnel vision for us when we reach an inflection point like retirement, where you are really having to say goodbye to something that has defined you probably in many ways and has given you a great deal of energy and purpose. And so I tend to work with people who are on the brink of this change and recognize that a life of pure leisure isn't going to cut it for them. It's simply not. And it's not because there's anything fundamentally wrong with leisure, but the truth is leisure needs to be in tension with engagement and effort to really have any long-term meaning associated with it. So, you know, when we're working with our clients, they are usually in this very uncomfortable position of not quite knowing how to approach what's coming because they're typically very used to mastery. They're very used to a sense of getting things done and knowing exactly what to do next and how to make it happen. And suddenly they're confronted with this moment that the rest of the world thinks they should be celebrating. And they're secretly and quietly thinking to themselves, what is about to happen to me? So what we do is help people at this moment really think deeply about how they want to move forward in an intentional way to, you know, use new parts of themselves, perhaps reactivate dormant parts of themselves, you know, design a life architecture that really works for them and that helps them live an engaged, energetic, purposeful next chapter, and honestly leverage this massive opportunity that this change presents. You know, it's loaded with opportunity, but it does take some thoughtful planning to really access it.
As you were saying that, where my mind went was like almost like the football field, where for me, and I was thinking about this on the way into the office today, was that I'm a recovering perfectionist, but I was never a driven high achiever. So, you know, I'm going from the goalpost here and crossing that retirement line to another goalpost over here where I still want to be busy and I want to be productive and design my own life. But a high achiever, the goalposts are further apart, because they are used to really pushing and, you know, creating and all those the other words that you used. And so to get to, I won't say a similar, but maybe it is similar in some ways, goalpost in quote retirement. Yeah, they've got a further place to go to get from one end to the other.
Absolutely. And I think the other opportunity that's there is to begin to redefine what success means. And that's a little bit why we all, you know, I laugh at myself calling myself high achiever, because what I would say is for an enormous portion of my life, taking myself way back to when I was a little kid, you know, I was defining success by external measures, you know, and school is a great place to get conditioned to do that, right? And so you do things like, you know, you want to be at the top of your class. You know, I went to law school and I wanted to graduate at the top. And then I joined a law firm and I wanted to be the best lawyer in my office. And, you know, so you're always looking for these outside indicia of your success and your effectiveness in the world. And the world gives us those things in the form of money or accolades or promotions. And so there's nothing wrong with those things. But one of the invitations that we make to our clients is to, you know, examine that definition for yourself. And is it now time to say, I've checked that box, you know, I did it. I mean, I'm going to take a victory lap. And now maybe my definitions are more about, you know, things that have to do with my satisfaction, my sense of usefulness. Am I making a contribution that matters to me? And sourcing those things internally. And that's a fresh idea to many of our clients, because again, they've been running on a track very powerfully and intensely and haven't really looked up to scan the horizon and ask if, you know, it's time to think about it differently. So that's another, I mean, some people do want another really big act and they are excited by that idea. But for others, it's almost a relief to say, you know what, I can take this heavy coat off and I can think about that word differently. And so that's always fun too, because that's a whole different set of explorations.
What came to mind was also the fact that a lot of people, and you know some, I know some, is they've wanted to be that best lawyer in the firm. They've wanted to do that. They've worked really hard to become that. But other people have been on that track where they were maybe good at something. So people just kept on pushing them, whether it was from above or below. And so they've become a high achiever, not necessarily by choice, but just because that's where the train went. Is there a difference between those? Because I would think that those people who have just sort of ended up there, not by design, but by because there's a big, huge set of engines pushing them, they are much more open to considering, maybe. Am I right?
Yes. I love it. I love that that you picked up on a very, very interesting nuance in all of this that comes up quite regularly. And there's a fabulous book. I believe it's called The Big Leap, something like that. But it, what you said reminds me of a conversation we'll often have with people, which is that there is a difference between operating in your zone of competence versus your zone of genius. And the zone of competence is somewhere that you are very, very good at what you do. And people, you're so good. People will pay you a lot of money to keep doing what you do. But it isn't really the reason you were put on this earth, you know? And so it can really interfere with our ability to find and stay in our zone of genius. And I would consider myself a very good example of that because when I take myself back earlier in my career to, you know, my law practice, and I was at a very large international firm and, you know, doing all the things that a corporate lawyer would do in that environment for 70 or 80 hours a week. And, you know, you are being rewarded in ways that seem to spell success to you. And so you think, okay, I'm really good at this apparently, and I should keep doing it. And that causes you to stop asking whether you are accessing those genius parts of yourself, the things that really are not just, you know, really your zone of genius, but the things that really fill you up. And so working with human beings ended up being, for me, that's my zone of genius. I mean, I can still bring that skill to bear with clients, and I still have a version of a law practice that's very different than my other one. But my zone of genius is really getting with people and helping them define what they want and then create a plan of action to go make it happen. And what, that's true for my clients, you know, in law, it's true for my clients on the verge of retirement. And you know, when I think about what I'm really here to do and what I'm really good at and I would do whether someone paid me or not, it's that. And so I love it when a light bulb goes on for one of the people we're working with and they realize, wait a minute, I've got this theme that runs through my work that is actually what I truly love to do and that I am naturally gifted at. And yes, I found a way to bring it forward in my work here and there, but now I'm curious, how can I really make that the centerpiece of my life? So that's another thing that will come up quite frequently with people.
Well, the light bulb that just went on for me was the fact that looking back on my jobs and careers is maybe I could have been a high achiever, but the one point in time where I was being pushed because I was really good at it and given more projects, which I accomplished, I didn't like the stress. Right. I didn't like that lump in my throat going, oh crap, am I going to make this one happen or not? And I bailed. I bailed. So,
yeah. Hey, I mean, honestly, I did too at 35. I bailed because I had two small kids and I couldn't figure out. I mean, the truth is I couldn't figure out how to get an A+ as a mom and a corporate lawyer. So I chose mom, and, you know, this is zero commentary on anyone who figures out how to make those things coexist. I just couldn't. And so I also think sometimes, you know, the choice to step off of that very intense experience unlocks so many scary but real opportunities to then discover more about yourself, you know, and I think it takes a measure of courage to do that.
Well, I beat you by 10 years. I was only in my 20s.
So you were just 10 years smarter.
I don't know about that. 10 years more scareder. I'm going to create my own English language here. Okay, so high achievers often live for and love their careers, and sometimes they don't have much of a life outside of it. What are your views with sticking with that career as opposed to stimulating themselves with a new endeavor?
Sure. Yeah. Great question. Well, in a lot of ways, you know, our clients are the ones driving the direction that our work is going to move in. And so one of the things that I am always exploring early on when we think about this is, you know, what do you really want? And that question is often too big. And so we try to break it down into smaller pieces. So I'll dig in and say, okay, tell me the last time that you went into the office and you had that zingy feeling that you could not wait to get in and get busy doing your thing. When is the last time you had that juicy feeling, you know? And that always is enlightening because sometimes they'll say, oh, it was last month. I mean, I was sitting at the helm of a boardroom, guiding this entire company through one of the scariest situations it's ever faced. And I love that. And it's like, okay, then maybe we're not done. This is interesting. How do we do more of that? But other times people will say, honestly, it's been 20 years since I had that level of energy. And then we'll get into, okay, well, let's talk about what's been in common with the situations that have caused that sensation of true energy and excitement. And then let's start getting those factors just out of our heads and onto, you know, a piece of paper on the wall, because there's a new way to put all that together. There always is. But until you are aware that what you're currently doing isn't really lighting you up anymore, it's difficult to turn away from it. You know, inertia is very powerful. And so a lot of times people come to us, maybe their firm or their company has a mandatory retirement date. They still feel like they have gas in the tank. So they're having to grapple with this. And the most obvious thing in their mind is, I should just go do what I'm doing now somewhere else. But when we really drill down, what they realize is, I don't actually want to do this anymore. And even though I still want to be engaged, this is a golden moment to design something new and craft a new future that's still got some great professional structure. But I don't have to just do what I've been doing. That, you know, that's not necessarily the only path. So, we certainly let our clients help us or lead us into what they truly, truly want. But sometimes what they think they want and what they really want end up being slightly different.
Right. And I've got a very clumsy question to ask you in a few minutes. But first of all, and I don't know if I'm just showing off my own naivety here, but do high achievers ever just like the safety of where they are? Like, it takes a real leap to...
Oh, for sure. Okay. I mean, I think what you know, we see over and over again, honestly, with retirement, and particularly for the cohort of people we work with, is that they are truly filled with anxiety about this change. They don't really know how to navigate it. They feel sheepish admitting that, because again, they're used to being the ones with the answers and the sense of mastery and all the rest of it. Most of the people around them who've been watching them work so hard can only think to themselves, you must be thrilled. I mean, you're going to be free. You're going to be able to do whatever you want. But the thing running through our client's head is, oh, no. I am staring at an endless void of nothingness. I have no idea what that means. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that? So yes, I mean, I think, and the other thing is, I don't think that most of the working environments people are leaving are really terrific at helping you process something like grief. And leaving a career that's meant a lot to you brings that up. It is something you must grieve. It's not like you just shrug it off and move on. I mean, it's like goodbye, old friend. You know, you and I have had a long run together, and you're also leaving your community. You know, in many cases, this is almost like a second family where you've spent a huge amount of your time in your life. You're probably at the top of your career, so you're setting all that down. So sure, there's a ton to say goodbye to before you can confidently and cheerfully look ahead at the next thing. And I don't think, you know, most people are like, come on, you got enough money. What's the problem? You know?
Okay. I told you I had a clumsy question, so please forgive me. I'm probably going to read part of this. You coach. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how you start to determine a direction for a client? Or is there a more basic method to just open the door to the concept of a new direction? Your client recognizes there's a path there before a destination necessarily appears. That's clumsy. Does it make sense?
I think so. So what I think I'm hearing is, you know, is there a mechanism that we use in our coaching to uncover maybe new and interesting pathways, and how do we validate with clients, you know, what is and isn't interesting or worth exploring and pursuing? Or is it more that they come to us with big, fresh ideas and we help beat those up? I mean, those or
I think where I'm going is, you know, you obviously you're talking to them, you're getting information from them, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe a few passion words come out, and so you're thinking, here's a possible mm-hmm. direction for this person. Like, can you then say, you know, sort of hint, hint, try this? or is there a door that you can open so that they see that themselves?
Yes, thank you. That's a very helpful framing. So, okay, so absolutely. So in we have a variety of different, let me just say this as background, a variety of different frameworks and program experiences that one can have with us. But let me focus on the one that we do most frequently, which is a very, very intense premium experience, because we spend two coaches, my husband and I typically spend two entire days with one person, and the second day their spouse, if they are, you know, included, sometimes yes, sometimes no. So we have gotten to know through a facilitated set of exercises this individual extremely well on the first day. And the entire point is to bring us up the curve very, very quickly on who this person is authentically and what is their life look when it is really working for them. And we have, you know, as you can imagine, a structured framework that we use to work through that material. And then we round out the day by digging into the aspects of their career life that have been the most fun, the most rewarding, the most energizing. So we have all of that information, and what that helps that person do is get out of their own head a little bit and almost get some perspective on themselves, because most of us don't sit and think about these things regarding ourselves that intensively. On the second day, having all of this as background and having sort of shaken the snow globe of our client's brain, what we start with is some really powerful brainstorming exercises. And I always talk about, like, we want to think in the best possible outcome. We want to think in the, you know, ideals terms. We don't want to think about limitation at this point. We want to think about what is the best thing I could dream up. And if I'm thinking of my life in the next decade, what, you know, if I'm standing at the end of that decade and I have created something spectacular, let's talk about what would be true. And I'll ask them, what would you be feeling more of? You know, if you could succeed at anything by your definition of success, so I'm guaranteeing it's a complete winner, what do you do in this decade? You would not believe the answers that come out of that question. I mean, and I can tell. I mean, when they have a closely guarded secret unlived life, it pops out and you can see it. You know, they're both zingy and immediately shut it down, because it would be too awful, you know, to imagine doing it and then realize they don't understand how they would ever get there. I have a beautiful example of that. We asked one client that question, if you could do absolutely anything and succeed. And the answer was, I'd be a Tony Award-winning Broadway producer. And this person was a real estate lawyer, so they had like really zero track to that. And the comment was, do not write that down, because it's never going to happen. And I have no clue how to make that work. I'm just telling you that that's like my crazy dream. And so of course we start breaking it down and saying, well, why not? I mean, people do it. It does happen in the world. So let's just talk about it. What would step one look like? What would the research look like? Who do you know who's got experience in this arena that you might get advice from? And we start building a little bit of a plan just to build it out, see what's involved. Long story short, 3 years later, they're up on the stage accepting a Tony Award for Hadestown.
Oh my goodness. Oh, so yeah. Not only did they do it, they did it in a really high achieving way. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I mean, we've got a lot of stories like that, because what I think happens, we kill our own dreams very quickly. You know, it's that voice in our head is right there telling us, don't be ridiculous, you know? And the truth is, you don't have to have the whole thing figured out. You just need to know what's the next step you can take. Yeah. What is the next step you can take? And what I say to people is, you know, you've checked the success box, you've killed it. What do you have to lose? I mean, come on, you know, why not go for it? And even if the vision you have at this moment in your mind isn't exactly where you end up, think of the ride you're going to have, and you're going to end up somewhere. You're going to get a ride on the river, that's for sure. So, you know, we really try to get people out of the mindset of why things won't work and get into the mindset of possibility. Like, what's possible? Let's see what we can think up, and don't focus on the end game, focus on the process and which the very next step you can take to get a little closer.
In my world, we call it a BHAG. It's the big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I love that acronym. It's hilarious. Yeah. And I love it when we find those. I just love it because people are, they're so excited when they finally get the bit between their teeth and they start to get the sense like, wait a minute, I might be able to do this, you know, and why not try? I mean, honestly, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Two questions. Maybe I'll deal with the money first of all. And I know overall we're not talking money, but you're just talking about like, let's give it a go. What have you got to lose? Having a good financial situation yeah. is more conducive to those successes.
Absolutely. And you are absolutely right. And my audience does happen to typically be a group of people who have been compensated well and, you know, because they have worked incredibly hard. Not everyone who works incredibly hard is compensated well, but this is a particular theme of the people that we tend to work with who are often, you know, lawyers from big law firms, doctors, investment bankers, and people like that. So they are somewhat confused by how unsettled they feel because they've done what they were told to do all these decades, and they've saved their money. And I sort of think we're sold a little bit of a bill of goods about retirement when we're young, because we don't really think about the substance of what that means. We just think save your money, stuff it into your 401k. That's the answer. That's all you need to do. And then the moment you arrive, you realize, well, whoa, 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 whoa. That's a very minimal, it's a thin answer. I mean, it's important, but it's far from the whole story. So you're correct. If we were working with somebody who said, listen, I really do need another income stream for this next chapter, of course, we are going to suspend all of the big dreaming that could put your money at risk or your time at risk. We're going to get down to brass tacks and talk about, okay, how do you optimize that and create something that's both very satisfying, but also meets the economic goals you've got. I mean, by all means, I would never, ever diminish that. But when the money is no longer a challenge, it's really interesting how many people still find it scary to take a risk. And I don't even mean put that much money at risk, but just put their dream at risk. Yeah.
The other question that I wanted to ask was, you know, you mentioned those people who are being forced out. Here is our retirement age. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're gone in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It doesn't much matter whether you like it or not. Them's the rules. Those people might come to you, but you've also probably got people coming to you saying, okay, I have done everything I wanted to do with this career, this company, whatever, this endeavor. I'm ready to do something else. Help me. What's the ratio of happy movers honor and forced movers honors?
That's a really good question. I have never thought about that so specifically, but I want to say it's probably 2/3 of the people are coming either because their institution has said, we have a mandatory retirement age and it's coming, and that is what it is, you know, or for family reasons or other reasons, health even, you know, they feel that they should let their career go, even though psychologically that's a very difficult choice for them. And then maybe 1/3 come to us, usually younger, really. Like we're seeing people at 55 and 56 and 57 coming to us and saying, you know what, I've done this 30 years and it's been great, but I'm tired and I don't know, you know, how many summers I have left to go have the active vacations I want to have, or I've missed too much of the time I wanted to spend with my family, or whatever it may be.
And so they're just as unsettled by what comes next because they haven't done enough thinking about what that all looks like. And because they're younger, it almost feels more imperative to have an energized life. But they are definitely saying goodbye on more comfortable terms because it's truly their choice and they're catalyzing the choice. So I do think that makes a difference in terms of just the psychology that somebody's dealing with, you know, when we sit down for the first time.
Okay. And you've just segued me into my next question of so many high achievers have spent that 80 hours a week at the office. Mm-hmm. They've missed a whole bunch of kids' soccer games. They've missed anniversaries, all that sort of stuff. They've had the ulcers from the work. And now I'm using air quotes around work. Do you ever see a possibility where they could go from the frying pan into the fire, chasing something new and grander and bigger?
Oh, for sure. I mean, in other words, yes. You know, one of the real things we like to challenge people on, if they bring the assumption that they want another monolithic career, to use sort of a phrase we commonly bring up, before we get to that question, that's why we work so hard on really getting to know them authentically and then looking at their life and what it looks like when it's thriving. And we break that down into six areas and we really drill down on what's ideal for you in this area. Let's go back to a time in your life, you know, when you had your physical well-being exactly the way you wanted it. What was true? What were you doing to make that true? We do that in their relationship world and their sense of fulfillment and their peace of mind. And we drill down on all these areas and help them create almost a map of what that looks like. And then we ask them to score it. And we say, all right, on a scale of 1 to 100, where are you today relative to this ideal that you've described to me? And that's a very revealing exercise because if they're giving themselves 20s and 10s the whole way around, they have this massive moment of clarity that I can't keep doing this. I mean, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? You know, and so we try not to start with those questions. We try to start with defining foundational aspects of you know, self and life so that we can then decide from there, all right, now that we're clear on all that, now let's talk about the circumstances of what you do in the world and figure out how they line up with what you have just described as something that would be closer to the ideal. And maybe they do line up. I mean, there's no judgment. I mean, we are definitely here to help people come to their own conclusions about what they truly want and then get out of their way and be in the space of possibility to go help make those things truer in their lives. So I think you ask a great question, though, because I think for some people, they have a bit of tunnel vision about what the career is doing to them and to their relationships, their health, their peace of mind, you know, even their sense of fulfillment. They haven't asked those questions in a long, long time and haven't even given themselves permission to look up and, you know, wonder about it, because to do so would mean, wait a minute, I might knock myself off the track, and that seems like a bad idea, so don't ask, you know? Yeah.
Isn't that interesting how as long as you don't go there, it ain't, you know, it's like a kid. Oh, yeah. If they can't see you, they can't see you, you can't see them.
That's right. Stay in denial.
Now, you have a talking point that I found really interesting because it would never occur to me that you would have this. But one of your talking points, describe a tool, service, or software that has been a game changer for your business, and how does it contribute to your success?
Oh, yes. I love that question because...
You asked it.
Oh, no. And I included it because it's one of those things that in my cohort, the tool that I will share with you that I've started to share with others so commonly. Let me back up and say this. I think people wired like I am tend to be terrible delegators, and I'll just do it all myself, and, you know, I'll get it all done. I'll just work harder. I'll work smarter. But one sort of faulty wiring, I'll just speak for myself, that I've always had is, you know, I don't need help and I'll just get it all done. And of course, as somebody who enjoys to have, I'm wearing a lot of hats in my life. I've, you know, as I said, I've written a book. I've got a lot of different pathways kind of unfolding in my own professional life. There, you do become your own limit, right? We are actually only human and we can only do so much. So I was listening to a different podcast last year and heard about this fabulous service that helps match you with an executive assistant who is full-time working with you, but virtual. So, you know, they're provided through a service, in this case called Athena. And I decided, you know what, this is so contrary to my natural instinct, but I'm now very curious because I was listening to that particular person being interviewed who said it had changed his business life. It had changed his whole life completely. And so I decided, what the heck, I'm going to see what this is all about. I started working with my executive assistant January 2nd, I think of 24 of this year. It has literally changed my life. I cannot imagine how I survived without her help. And she has energized so many creative projects. And by assistant, that word implies somebody that I'm just pitching, like, you know, administrative tasks to. Not at all. She has become an extension of my brain. And so what I do with her is we dream about the objectives that could be true if, you know, we really can move our energy in these different directions, none of which I'd be able to energize. I don't have the capacity. And then she goes and figures out how to push it all forward and make it happen. So that has been a game changer for me. And I will say most of the clients I mention it to now have the same issue. They just look at me like, I would never in a million years have imagined that I, you know, would benefit from that. But as you say all of these things, I recognize I need to be a better delegator. So anyway, that's the service for me that has unlocked an unbelievable amount of capacity.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was browsing around your website. I saw coaching programs Ovation and Encore. What are those?
Yes, sure. So the Encore program is the two-day program, the two-day in-person program I mentioned. It is a very intensive, personalized experience. And, you know, the 2 days is a foundation session, and then we continue working with people for as long as they need and want the help. So it's a, you know, a very, very high-touch experience. And it's been our flagship program for 15 years. And then as a result of the pandemic and a request by some of our institutional clients to create virtual and more concise versions of that work at different price points, we created Ovation, which is a one-day virtual experience. It can't, you know, cover 100% of the same territory as Encore, but we cover a great deal of the material in a way that we have been able to validate is still extremely helpful to people as they think about navigating retirement and how to create a pathway to something new. And then there's a certain amount of follow-up support that's included in that. And always more is available if needed. So it is a smaller virtual version of Encore, if that helps.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was sort of thinking that if, for example, your 2-day intensive is, mm-hmm. you and your husband, for example, mm-hmm. there's a finite number of clients that you can take on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, exactly. And we've developed group programs as well. You know, that the Horizon is a group program where we spend 2 days and one evening with a cohort going through things at a higher level. And then there are, you know, small group facilitations that occur so we can get into everybody's personal situations to a degree, but some of that is their own self-facilitation, obviously, because it's just, you know, we've got a group. So, but those are quite engaging too. And we find the people who attend those together become very good friends because we still go pretty deep together. And so those are always nice. And then you have a cohort of people, a little community of people that you can sort of go through this, you know, change with, and just sort of be a tribe together as you move through it. So that's been a fun innovation as well.
Okay. And here's the gossipy follow up to that. Do you ever have clients come to you, you know, in with their overcoat on saying, don't tell anybody I'm here?
Oh, yes. We have, well, and this happens mostly in the law firm context because it is very anxiety producing, let's just say, for a very successful lawyer who's got a big book of business, right? They don't want it getting out until they're ready that they're retiring. And, you know, gossipy is the word. So the minute if somebody gets a whiff that they're retiring, you know, it's going to fly through the firm. The next thing you know, a client has heard. The next thing you know, the phone stops ringing and they may still be 2 or 3 years away. They may be working with us to get their head around, you know, what does it look like to do this well over the next 24 months? And so that's a big deal, that confidentiality. And so they, you know, and so one of the questions we'll ask is, you know, all right, have you gone public yet, internally or externally? And if not, when are you thinking about doing that? And that's always a huge piece of it for them, right? Like, when am I going to do this? What am I going to say? And then the question they're going to get from everybody 100% of the time is, what are you going to do?
And that's when they rub their hands together and say, guess what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we certainly tell them, have an answer, because it's very exhausting if you get asked that 55 times in a row and your answer is, I actually have no idea, you know? So we really honestly help people think through, like, how are you going to answer that? And maybe you weren't even clear yourself yet, but we've got some ideas. Or, you know, maybe you'll say, I'm going to take this next year as a sabbatical, and then I'm going to, you know, look into some of these new areas. But some way to frame it is gives people a sense of confidence when they get asked, because the second you tell people you're retiring, it is like an autoresponder. That's the question that pops out.
Pickleball.
Yep.
Just keep it simple.
Yes, exactly.
Now, perhaps the follow-up is, do you help them with their, not with their pickleball, do you help them with their exit planning, or do they find someone that can?
Oh, absolutely we can. Okay. Yes. A lot of, and it's all very dependent on what the particular client feels is, you know, a high priority issue for them. But for example, we may say to somebody, all right, let's look at how, if you've got a year left in your position, let's break it down into 4 quarters. So if you are in fantastic shape in quarter 4 for your retirement, you were ready to walk out on the top of your game. You have transitioned everything beautifully. You've wrapped up your legacy projects. You've promoted the people you want to promote, whatever it all is. What is true? And now let's back up over this 4 quarters and let's really game plan it. What has to happen to get all that lined up? Because when you really start drilling down on that, it's quite a lot, you know, and particularly if you've got lots of clients that you need to hand off or you socialize to new service providers. You know, what I always say to people is, like, you want to leave on top. You want to leave this thing feeling fantastically about it. It's been a fabulous experience. And, you know, the way things end is often the way we remember them, you know, so you don't want to have a 35-year career that was just fabulous and the last 2 years are awful and you're stressed out and you ignore this and it ends kind of poorly. That's going to color, you know, the way you see the whole experience. And so when people aren't clear for themselves yet about what that exit planning looks like, we consider that to be a pretty critical piece of the plan. And we're very, very happy to facilitate them through that planning.
Okay. One-stop shopping.
Yeah.
Said most respectfully.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. What is time on my hands?
Oh, yes. So that book, a little ebook, which, gosh, I wrote it a year and a half ago now, was an effort to put into words the repeating themes that we see about, you know, what is most unsettling to the intense professionals we work with. And that title expresses it well. What am I going to do with all this time on my hands? I mean, that is literally one of the, you know, we always ask people at the beginning of our work, what would you like to get out of this? What's a home run look like? You know, what will we have worked through and clarified? And that's almost some version of that comes out, right? What am I going to do with all this free time? It's like, yikes. So, what that, you know, the little ebook really drills down on is, first of all, if that feels like a concern as you read this ebook, because you yourself might be looking at retiring, you're not alone. Everybody feels that way. And the second main point of the book is to realize that there are some shifts in your mindset that we're going to help you achieve, that's going to really help address that concern. And one of the main ones that we really work with our clients on is moving from what we call a reactor to a creator. Same letters in those words, but very different meanings. And when you are in a career, and again, I'll use the lawyer as an example, but I think it's as true for executives or any profession, you're reacting to content that's coming at you all the time. I mean, you're in a system and the system is giving you problems to solve or challenges to meet or objectives to create and all those things. So it's not that you're not creative in that, but you're entering the creative process at a point where there's content. And what we're going to help you do is shift to the creator of your content. You are going to be the one driving the content of your life. And does that feel like a new skill? Sure, it does, because you haven't had to do that for a long time. But we promise you, you have the muscle. It's just a little dormant. And what we're going to do is help you begin thinking about ways to do that, to put that content into your life in a very intentional, thoughtful way. And we use tools like an annual planning calendar, for example, to give people this sense of, wow, you mean I could look at a whole year and I could actually build the architecture of a whole year? Absolutely. And that alone is a game changer for people because they've never thought that way before. They deal with the screen real estate of 1 week on their phone or something. And that's all they think about is what do I have to do this week or this day? So getting into that creator mindset is one of the biggest shifts we see. And it helps address this time on my hands problem, because what you realize is, all that free time, it's like having your hands in the clay. You're going to shape it into what you want it to be. You just need a way to think about it.
Okay. Now another statistic question for you. Most executives 55 plus are probably still male. I think I'm safe to say that. Mm-hmm. How does your clientele shake down? Like, do you have very many women coming to you?
Believe it or not, about 25% of our clients are women. I think we very recently looked at that very question, and that's about what we thought based on our rough estimation. But when we really drilled down on the numbers, it was almost spot on 25%. And one of the things though I'm seeing now is more and more and more of the women coming to us are between 55 and 60. And they are often also navigating the inflection point of launching children into the world, and their dual role of, full-time mother is also changing. And that's its own huge version of retirement. I have a section in my book on that, because even if you've just been a full-time mother, that's a full-time career, as we know. I mean, anybody who's been a parent. And so that is no small thing, that's no small thing. And so sometimes they're having to come to terms with the loss of that purpose and role as well, or at least the way it's going to reshape itself. And so when that's on the table, we certainly talk about it, and different people experience it in different ways, but I consider that its own version of retirement.
Well, I was just thinking too, it would almost make you and your husband the dream team, because the more women I talk to, the more they express a comfort zone. And I mean, you've walked the walk. Whereas yes. I would think a man's separation issues around growing children are different than a woman's,
I would agree.
Yeah. So you can identify with a lot of the stuff that they're voicing and going through.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of our clients express that to us after they work with us that, my husband and I are, we were friends and business partners first. And so we have a great just a great dynamic. But just aside from the good dynamic we have as human beings, I think we hear often that having a female and a male perspective in the room is very, very valuable to the men as well. And I think, but to your point, as a female professional and having also been in a very intense environment that was much more male dominated, I know what it took to navigate and succeed in a career like that and be where they now are. And it's that old joke about, you know, you've got to do everything Fred Astaire does, but, you know, Ginger Rogers has to do it backwards in high heels. I mean, it's true.
I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman who works with men, segueing into that next chapter. And he wanted to come on podcast to give my women listeners some tips, some insights into what those men are going through or thinking. Hmm. And so again, because you and your husband, you're bringing both of those reference points to a coaching session. I'm sure it helps both genders.
So. Yes, absolutely. And on day two, you know, when a spouse joins, and it's most often, you know, a wife joining a husband client, but it's the other way around 25% of the time, right? So, but it is also interesting because they'll all chuckle and say, oh, we know this isn't marriage therapy. But the funny thing is, it kind of is. Yeah. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
no, absolutely.
It's a big, big deal in terms of the relationship dynamic. I don't think we've ever worked with a single couple who hasn't expressed some trepidation about what retirement might mean for their relationship. And COVID helped a little because a lot of folks were under the same roof for a long time together for the first time, and they realized, oh, it's okay. We got through that part. Yeah. But there's still a little bit of a concern, you know, from the non-retiring spouse. It's like, what are you planning to do all day? Because you can't chase me around the house and start telling me how to run my life. So, you know, it's quite cute. So
there's a whole bunch of stories I could tell there, but I won't.
I am sure.
Okay, I'm going to address our listeners for just a moment, because as you've been speaking, I realize that you work with the high achievers, but it's the same, only different for everybody. Insofar as you're facing this next chapter, that our parents are no example because it was a totally different time.
Oh, yes.
And so I use the example of, you know, your client might be interested in travel because they're going to go end global hunger. You know, people that I see regularly and those who aren't high achievers, they want to go and solve hunger in their community. So it's the same, just maybe smaller. And so I just wanted to couch that with my next question. Your enthusiasm has inspired listeners to discover, pursue a pursuit. Can you do that? A quest. What haven't we talked about that you want midlife, especially women, to think about as they consider winding down their 9 to 5, even if it's their 8 to 8?
Yes, great question. I think there is a concept we haven't touched on that I'd love to share, because I think it's often very helpful to people who reach a bit of clarity that maybe they don't want another very demanding engagement or job or career, but they definitely still want to be engaged in the world. And so there's a little bit of a head scratch for them when they start talking to us about, well, how do I do that? I mean, I don't understand what that looks like. And so one of the analogies that we will give them to start playing with, and we will, you know, help them fill in the blanks very specifically, is imagine your life is now a mosaic. It doesn't have this big, giant piece of scaffolding in the middle of it called a career, around which everything else you care about has to be tucked in, right? So the scaffolding is definitional, and then you pop in on the sides, you know, your friends and your interests, and maybe you read a book a year, and, you know, this and that and the other. Maybe you can exercise once a week. Now, no, you have a mosaic and you're the artist, and you get to put together a picture of all of these different aspects of life in the right proportion, the right mix and balance that works for you. And, you know, and you get to experiment your way and live your way to the answer. So it's okay if you try it this way and that doesn't feel quite right. Well, then we're going to pluck that out and make it smaller, or maybe we'll add this in. But that analogy is so helpful to people because it gives them a new mental construct that's different from like all in or all out. And usually, you know, that's because that's what it's been for them. It's very hard to imagine something that isn't all in or all out. So we start to help them see, you know, just to use some examples. Well, maybe you have a very, very focused consulting practice, you know, and the most you're going to do that is 10 hours a week, but you get to shape it. You call the shots on that. You know, maybe you're going to have a volunteer activity in a cause area that's just really always been interesting to you. Maybe you're going to pick up a creative pursuit or take some courses on some things that have just always intrigued you, or, you know, you've always wanted to write a memoir or whatever it is, but you're going to be traveling. You're going to be, you know, lighting up old friendships. You know, maybe you're going to be energizing, you know, some really special time with your spouse that you haven't had time for a long time. So they start to see all this as a mosaic of different ways to be energized and engaged. And that gets exciting and fun. And I'd say that when we talk to clients a year or 2 years into this kind of thing, that's what we hear back is they're just so energized with the variety and the, you know, the ability to experiment with things. And it's no big deal if that thing didn't play out the way you wanted. So I would say that's a terrific model, you know, for people to think about if they're trying to think about a chapter after an intense career.
You just reminded me that a bunch of years ago for my clients, I created what I called a dream catcher. And those points around the outside were key things. And then as they worked their way through into the center, which the center didn't mean anything except it was a way to work in. And they would put whatever the thing on the outside is, travel. Well, maybe it's different places. Maybe it's the way they travel, like whatever. So each facet. Yeah. So there you go. Your mosaic only different. There we go.
Yes. I think they're very similar. Yeah. And just the whole idea that the whole notion, right, that you could have several cool things going on at once that's a fresh thought for a lot of people.
And just like I'm sure your mosaic doesn't need crazy glue to stick the pieces in place.
Right.
Because, you know, like you use a pencil on my thing because things change.
That's exactly right. You know, the stakes aren't that high. I mean, I always say experiments don't succeed or fail. They just give us data. So if you try something and it's a flop, the data point is, yuck, not doing that again.
You know? No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I say that about so many things in life. You know, even your weight, it's not good nor bad. It's a data point.
It's so. Exactly. We are where we are. It's fine. You know, I think, you know, when you've been in a career, you've got that sense of, no, I got to get it right. I don't have time to waste. I can't get, you know, I can't screw this up. And it's all that mindset has to, you know, soften so that you can give yourself permission to just explore the world and see, you know, some of it really is an exploration. And I just tell people, have fun with it. I mean, you can't get it wrong. You know?
Yeah. And my eyes are now going to shift over to monitor number two, because your mindset shift is from expert to student. So, you know, like just to go out and learn, you know, there's so many good things that happen when you learn something new. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now you've talked about your book a couple of times. Tell us about your book.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for asking. So it's called Encore, A High Achiever's Guide to Thriving in Retirement. And it really explores the key themes, you know, surrounding this work we do with people and the lessons we've learned just working with hundreds and hundreds of people at this inflection point. It's sort of got four key parts. You know, the first quarter of the book is about, you know, why is retirement such a fraught topic? Why does it induce anxiety? What's the history of it? You know, what's the marketing around it? You know, why is this such a sort of laden topic? You know, and I think the very first chapter, my subtitle is When Liberation Feels Like Loss. You know, it's like, that's a lot to cope with. So we look at that. Then I spend, you know, the next section of the book really digging into identity and why we get identified with our careers, what it means, how do we approach bridging our identities into the future and into new spaces. The third part of the book is all about life restructuring. A lot of those things we talked about, how do you change your relationship with, you know, being a person used to time scarcity to somebody who uses time to shape a life that you want to live? How do you manage your energy effectively, you know, and other ways to think about structuring your life without a huge career in the middle of it? And then lastly, the last section of the book is all about getting into action and, you know, how do you make this real? I mean, what are some of the actual strategies and tactics that get you into real action and help you create real pathways, assuming that you don't necessarily have a coach, you know, sort of walking arm in arm with you? I mean, the last chapter is down to literally a 9-page, you know, checklist when you're 6 months out from retirement, like everything we've ever thought of that you may want to think about as you get ready. So I tried really to explore the theories that have really girded our work, but also the tactics, you know, the down and dirty stuff that everyone's got to deal with, like things like you're going to lose your email address and you've probably logged into a million websites with that thing. What does that involve? You know, it's that stuff. So I hope it's useful to people. I wrote it because every time I started talking in general about this work with somebody, I would hear things like, I have 10 people who need to talk to you kind of thing. You know, oh my gosh, my father needs you. And I thought, you know, I think I could really share a lot of insight from the work we've done. And it, of course, like any project, it was a big, big lift. But I'm really pleased to have written it. And it was a fun project. And I think I'm going to launch it in February as opposed to the fall. I was thinking of the fall, but with the election and everything, it's a distracting time for the world. So I think I'm gonna push it to February, but I'm excited. I'm really excited to share it with the world. So
okay, that also explains why there's no link on your website.
It is coming soon. In fact, it's in its final proof. I got my last physical proof coming to me this week, and then I will have an advanced purchase link that I'll put on my website, because I have a lot of big cheerleaders out there who, you know, who are encouraging me to, you know, allow people to purchase it in advance, okay, you know, now. So I will do that here in the very near future. Yeah.
Okay. Now I need to ask, is the very last question in your book, can you get in the elevator with me? And when I say, what do? You don't say, I'm a lawyer. You say, I'm a master's surf champion who reads a lot of books and I'm learning Spanish.
I love that.
Okay. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Well, I would say, I've got 3 different websites. So rather than rattle those off, what I'd say is my LinkedIn profile is probably the easiest way to find me and then open the door to any of the other 3 business arenas where I am involved. So Encora Co. is a site that is largely providing these offerings to individual consumers. Zelenka Parsons is my consulting firm that works with institutional level clients, very in the same arena. And then my law firm, you know, to the extent anyone's interested in that, it's there too. So I wear these 3 hats, and I, you know, a little schizophrenic sometimes, but I think if you find me on LinkedIn, you're going to find everything else that I'm connected to in an easy way.
Okay. And I did need to ask, does Encora Co. mean something?
No, it came from our program name Encore. And then we just sort of turned Encore into Encora Co. As it was just sort of a riff on that name. So okay. nothing more specific than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
There wasn't some
URL these days is like, you know,
I was hoping there was a Greek god that nobody had ever heard of. And
no, I wish. I wish I had a cooler answer.
Okay, before we close, may I ask you a personal question?
Oh, please.
You're a really good photographer. Is that a hobby or a passion?
Oh, my goodness. I appreciate that. My gosh, thank you. I would say it is a passion that is taking a small backseat at the moment, but I did discover that in myself, I'm going to say in 2007 or so, I literally just felt compelled to take my camera out into the desert. And I just was seized. I mean, I couldn't put my camera down. I was making myself late to things, you know, it was hilarious. And I mean, for about 3 years, I was just absolutely captivated by taking interesting images. And so I look forward, honestly, to reviving that, because I do think it's a passion more than a hobby. It's something that when I get into it, it can consume me. I'm honored you looked, and thank you for that.
We can talk after.
Yeah.
Okay. So LinkedIn link will be in the show notes.
Fabulous.
All the links will be on your page at our website.
Yes.
Listeners, I'm super curious what you thought about today's show. So talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Maybe there was a question I didn't ask Elizabeth. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Stars and reviews, be generous. The algorithm goddesses love them. And share this episode. What's next can be a dilemma for many people. Rocking chairs and bridge are not for a lot of people, at least not for at least a few more decades. When you share this conversation with a like-minded friend, you may brainstorm yourselves into another exciting chapter. I had someone buy me a coffee recently, and that was exciting and a pretty cheap option for supporting this podcast, given my taste in coffee. I want them to have a buy me a bottle of wine link. I don't know. Anyways, the buy me a coffee link is in the show notes and above Elizabeth's head on her page at our website. You can get new episodes delivered right to your inbox at Substack. Following there is free. Elizabeth Zelinka Parsons, thank you for being my guest today. You really are motivating and enthusiastic about this current chapter not being our last. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for such a fun interview. I appreciated it.
I appreciate you. Have a great rest of week.